Hello, everybody, and welcome to Thrallers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Sublime, Alan. We're close. We are so close.
I know. I've got one more actual day of work, and then I've got like a bullshit kind of half day thing on Friday and into our work drinks. And then nothing for like a while. It's so good. I'm excited. How about you?
Yeah, same setup. I've got, probably another mental day tomorrow. Actually, today's pretty shit, actually. I've got to go to the dentist in the afternoon. But that gets me out of work easy. And then Friday, Friday's just a bludge. Start with we've got a tradition that I'm struggling to keep alive because Hardy keeps on bailing on me. But we, on the last day of school every year, we play a round of disc golf before work with a couple of cold ones. And then I roll into work, and normally by the time I roll into work, cricket's already started in the gym. And then it's into some sort of like, bullshit trivia and lunch and drinks. And this year, kick-ons are in Footscray.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
Yep.
This year for mine, it's down the street from my house. It's so good. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, just stuff up on Chapel Street. So I'll just be walking there and walking home, hopefully.
There you go.
That's the game plan. Light on run sheet tonight. We normally do the Thrallers Awards for our last show of the year, but we didn't do any this year yet, so we're not gonna make them up on the fly. We'll have a think and we'll do them first pod back next year. I think. I think that'd be a better format.
I can get down for that.
Yeah, sweet. I think Club Champs is just late because normally there's nothing to do. On this last week, I think. That's why we just had just an awards one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong, but anyway, we'll sort that out. If anyone you know or if you think you deserve any awards, then let us know. Hit us up and we'll sort them out.
Please do.
One award we will, as far as I know, be giving out, Australia's best putter.
Yes.
So I've been informed that you're using too much of the AI catch-up in your messenger chat when that MPO group chat goes off. Because it wasn't exactly how it all went down. Apparently, Parrish was basically defending you and saying what, the way you sort of read it is how he does it as well with his stats.
Okay, sweet.
but also, you missed out on Ryan Michel coming in with an 85% putting rate.
Wow.
So I'm not in part of the chat, so I don't know what the, if that's like a few tournaments, or if he actually did a lot.
You can tell I paid really close attention to this chat. Shum well.
But that's huge. That puts him, he's the number one putter in Australia as far as we've been told. So that's a fact, I think.
But still only in the good category.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't push you into elite. That's crazy. That's crazy. Well, there's no way anyone's better than that.
I do apologize, Parrish. Like I said, he did not name drop me. I did see someone did. I think it was on the back of me giving Parrish shit, though. It was, I think it was Aiden or someone. Someone definitely tagged me in the chat. But this chat, it's too long, man.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it.
No, I definitely miss that. I definitely miss Parrish.
I was good enough. We need to get Kaelin in there so that when they boot you out for being MA40, we still got some eyes in the chat.
Yeah.
But or even Parrish. Parrish is pretty good for that, but we shouldn't tell that. They might kick him out too. But anyway, he sent me the guidelines. So PDGA actually has putting guidelines for what counts as circle one and circle two, on off fairways. And it says circle one and circle two supersede any on / off fairway judgments. If the disc is within 10/20 meters of the target, it's always recorded as C1/C2, even if it's in the rough. And the only thing I really have to say to that is eat a dick, PDGA. Like, no.
Yes.
Guide me all you want. I ain't fucking doing it that way.
Yeah. I'm just like rereading this chat. I was like so fucking off base.
That's what I'm hearing.
People were like in my corner. Even Timmy was like, what's the point of looking at the fucking percentages if they're watered down by like non-putts?
Yep.
People had my back. My bad.
See, fuck the PDGA. The stats aren't for them. They're for us. Do them that way, I reckon. That'd be good. But, I just thought that was funny. I didn't even know they had an official stats guideline.
But there you go.
But they're wrong.
Yeah.
We got reached out to by Richard Lewis Shell. He is looking after the Werribee tournament.
Guess where I'm at right now.
Oh, where are you at right now?
I'm on the Melbourne Disc Golf Shop registering for said event.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So Summer Cup on January 4th. I might, if I'm feeling spicy, I might make it out to that and then Warrnambool Sunday. We shall see. I still haven't figured that out yet. I might never play around to disc golf again. So
I'm pretty sure the 4th of January is a Sunday.
Okay, well then I might find myself Saturday in Warrnambool and Werribee on Sunday.
Yeah.
Registrations are open now and they've been doing a lot of work on a new course layout. So it goes, after a hot start, we have a cool follow-up at the new Werribee course. You go, what's cool about the new Werribee course? Number one, it's longer. So an extra 400 meters of throwing. That's a lot to add in.
It is.
More par fours, more trees, more OB, more mandos. Interesting. Less walking without throwing. That was one of the big problems at Werribee. Those weird creeks kind of mess things up. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Two baskets added on the walks between the sections. That's cool. It's easier to access. Hole one will be close to the swimming center and parking facilities. I don't even know where the swimming center is. Two? Is that the school?
I know where it is.
Okay.
It's like we never normally park there because it's like we don't normally play holes near there.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that's cool. Tees from concrete paths when they can. That's elite. Short 5-hole beginner layout as well. So a longer intermediate and advanced layouts that will combine the intermediate and advanced layouts for a 20-hole club event. All right, that's cool. A practice basket will be added near hole one. And it'll be set up over the next few weeks. So it's not in place just yet. And Richard's looking for some volunteers to help. So anyone who's out that way or just has any free time or something, hit up Richard on Messenger or something and we'll get it going. But that sounds good. That sounds like that could be fun.
Yeah, it does. I've got permission from the boss just before I walked out here. And I said, oh, look, it's part of the way we do the pod. Is like one of the segments is I'd like to sign up for an event like mid-pod. So like, please just let this through to the keeper. And here we are. Fantastic. I'm using the shop for the first time though. So I feel like it's going to be annoying. But we're away. Fine.
It's good.
All right, sweet.
Ruffy Rumble is also full steam ahead. So while you're on that club shop website, you can sign up for Ruffy Rumble both days if you wanted to as well. So it's going to be dope. Same normal layout as 2 years ago. So the only change was that hole 15, the one with the crazy mulch out of bounds. We weren't allowed to use that area, but we are again. So it's coming back in.
Yes, that's what the people want
to
hear.
I will endeavor to string it, as much as that pains me. But I'll endeavor to string it to take out some of the ambiguity. But that's a super fun hole. That wrecked me. But I liked it, so we're going to bring it back in. It should be the same layout as 2 years ago. It should be lots of fun. And I hope we get like 140 people playing. That'd be crazy.
Give me the dates again.
It is the 31st of Jan for day one, and day two is the 1st of February, so straddling the 2 months. I think we've got, what's the Ballarat one? Central Vic Classic. Then we got the long weekend for Australia Day, and then the next weekend is Ruffy Rumble. So what a time to be in Victoria.
Okay, what a time.
Get on that for sure. All right, I've got something here on the run sheet. What did I call it? That's not Paddy. Well, I don't think that's Paddy. So
tell me more.
Check your messenger now if you can. I just sent you a photo that has been on Disc Golf Warehouse socials for a really long time. And I never really like looked at it until the other day, and I was like, fuck, that's not Patty. I just like, I've only ever really glanced at it, and it's always just been there, and I was just like, well, that's Patty Ronald. Patty, why do I always do that?
Patty Ronald.
I say Patty Ronalds a lot. What's his last name? Robinson.
Robinson.
Patty Robinson. And then I had a closer look at it. I'm like, fuck, that's a really old photo of Patty because he's pretty young in that. And then I kind of looked at some more of the details. I'm like, I don't think Patty's ever had like a rope necklace. And I'm like, and I don't think he's ever been sponsored by Disc Golf Warehouse. I'm like, I don't think that's Patty. So, yeah, anyway, go onto your socials, everybody. Go to the Disc Golf Warehouse Facebook page, Insta, I don't know. But there's a redheaded dude holding an RPM. That should have been the other dead giveaway. Patty with a Tui. But holding an RPM disc, and it's not Patty.
I'm curious to know, listeners, as anyone had ever thought for a second that was Patty. That is, it's never crossed my mind that was Patty. I feel like you might be alone.
Yep, I could be. I definitely could be. But I've forever, like, it's been on their thing for a while now. But yeah, that's not Patty.
Nope.
I got to play Club Champs on the weekend with Ruben. I haven't played with Ruben in a very long time, I think. So always an insightful man. And he'd asked about hole layouts, my thought on how we play shotgun start tournaments, basically. Like these little ones where, you know, it's only 9 tee pads. And he was saying that he prefers it if we, you know, you, let's say you're on hole 7, you play 7, 8, 9, 1, mm-hmm, 2, 3, mm-hmm, da da da. And he asked me my thoughts. So I want to hear yours. So that's what he likes. He thinks that's better. It's sort of, I guess, better for the scoring, maybe, just because the front and back nines could be different. Another sort of point could be, sometimes you can get caught where you're on the front nine and the people ahead are you in the back nine, and then you're sort of waiting on longer holes than you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what's your thought process on that? Do you like it just 9, 10, blah, 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 or do you like the whole front nine to get played first?
Yeah, so at Dubs, I think they've always done like what Ruben has just kind of suggested there. I feel like that's the way they do Dubs. Like, even if you start on like a different hole, like if you start on 7, you're meant to go to 1 after you finish 9 or 10, and then yeah, then do the back 9 second.
Mm. I think so, yeah.
And I don't know. I think for mine, it's it's kind of a non-starter because it doesn't, like, for like somewhere like Bald Hill or somewhere where you're doing like 2 laps of 9, right? That's obviously where it's most in play. Yes, the way a lot of Melbourne courses are set up, there's like a difference. So like, I can see why he's like saying that at Bicentennial. I can see why he would like say that at Bald Hill. But like, outside of kind of like those 3 Melbourne courses, it doesn't really make any sense. And it doesn't like change anything in the sense that like, what's going to eventually happen is like, I'm going to get to 16, but you're going to get to 10. And like, then we're going to be playing different holes anyway. So like, I won't get to play holes 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 until the end anyway.
Mm.
It kind of just kicks the can down the road is what I'm saying. Like, there's going to be a discrepancy between what holes different cards are playing. Like, it doesn't even it out, I don't think.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, I thought like... Yeah. If you do it, everyone basically plays the front 9 for... Oh, yeah, but then, yeah, you get you. Oh, yeah, I get you. You're still playing 16 for... Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because... yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I told him I just sort of was indifferent to it. I was like, I couldn't care less either way. Like, it's not... If I'm running an event, it's not worth it for me to stipulate that we should do that because it just seems like a confusion with no real benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But he was keen on it, and I said, "All right, well, next tournament you run, then you can make them all play like that." And he's like, no, I'm just going to make his a change through the PDGA. I was like, okay, cool, bro. So we'll see if maybe he's got some swing. He can make that happen. But yeah, a little bit of insight from playing with him.
There you go. Like I said, I can see why they do it at Dubs and with smaller groups. And I think it does, like, the only place where it has kind of any merit is, like, you know, at those Melbourne courses. But outside of that, like, you know, how do you do it? You can't do it at Vic Park.
Yeah.
You can't do it at Xavier. Like.
Yeah, he just means for, like, yeah, the nine basket ones. But, yeah, I just, yeah. I'm sort of in the same boat. It just doesn't seem worth it. Juice doesn't seem worth the squeeze.
Yeah.
All right. Club champs. So the big one, the big metrics day of the year. And we had five divisions with 45 odd people showing up. So good day. Weather was really nice. A bit windy, sorry. I should say that. It was very, very windy. But still decent conditions. And yeah, we'll get to my day in a bit, but we'll start off in the 50 plus division, and Richard Lewis Schell, the aforementioned, takes it down by just the single stroke over Simon Farrar, and then a few back to Mark Green, and then Mike van der Linden. So not a big surprising name in Richard, but Mike down there in fourth. And Simon, I think, we had him on a bit of a heater and then maybe cooled off last time he played. So we weren't sure if that was a bit of a fluke, but he's bang right there. So good to see. Clawed a couple back. Richard had him by three after round one, but yeah, caught a few back, but just couldn't quite get it done. So big win for Richard Lewis Schell, club champion.
Ring a ding ding, and bottleneck there really for third. Like everyone else was, like, you know, up to it in up to their eyeballs in it, but yeah, Richard and Simon kind of run away with one and two. Well done.
Well done indeed.
Has Anita Webber stamped some authority on the women in Melbourne with this win here?
I think so. It was very convincing.
Yeah.
I had this been a nice battle, but she's clearly taken the win over Kim Michelle by eight strokes.
Yep.
And did most of the damage on the longer course at Bald Hill. So one stroke lead after round one, but yeah, just takes seven more of them in round two. So maybe that arm is just really developing and she's just putting it far beyond what the others can handle.
Mm-hmm.
Close battle there for second and third. So Marta was, clawing one back in that final round. Wasn't quite enough, but yeah, pretty comfortably in third. I found myself on a card with Bridget Alberston, so she had a bit of a rough first round. I asked her what happened. She's like, I don't know. And I was like, I feel you, girl.
That's why we're on the same card together.
But yeah, she fought her way back a little bit, taking some strokes off Janet and Lenny, but yeah, just not enough to get too far up. But yeah, Anita Webber with the commanding win.
Why don't Anita?
What about Div C?
Tiebreaker. Had to go to a playoff. And I'm hoping you've got it in the chat how that shook out. But old mate Vinja, Mr. Tipping Extraordinaire,
Ties it up. Oh, no shit. It makes so much sense. I did not click that was Vinja.
Really?
I've been trying to figure that out all year. But yeah, of course.
We've definitely spoken about this on the pod. Right. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
It went in one ear and out the other, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. This has to be Vinja. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
Jason Vincent.
Yep. Tied it up with Paul Baker. Convincingly over Alistair Morley and Paul Rogers and Simon McKay, who had a tight battle for third, but nowhere to be seen in regards to the race for first. Who got it done in the playoff? Do you have that?
I'm working through it. There's a bunch of videos, but I'm not seeing too many names. Scrambling it out to the tie hole. No. I don't know. There's videos of it, but I think if I start looking at them, it'll mess up our audio.
Don't look at it.
So no, I'm not sure. Sorry, We should have done our research on that. well done to whoever it was, either Jason or Paul. Hopefully that wasn't a $2 bet of ours.
Congratulations, guys. Congratulations.
Shit, we suck.
What chat's it in? Give me a heads up. I'll see if I can find it.
Disc golf in Melbourne.
All right.
Unless
all right.
I'm just scrolling too quick through it. But, it's like, by now, everyone knows the result is one of the comments. It's like, no, we don't. Anyway, in Div B, New Zealand's number one disc golfer, Levi Norton.
Yes.
This was a slip that I made last week, I think. Who's the other Levi from New Stout? I was talking about Stout. Levi Stout. I mentioned Levi Norton. Levi Norton, not quite 10-20 weighted, but he is still the best Div B player at our club. No, Chris. He's in a playoff as well. Oh, yes. We fucked this up so bad.
I assumed you had this ready to go. I don't know. You were there, dude.
Yeah, mate. No, I wasn't there for the finish. I can tell you that. shit. Well, Levi and Wayne went into a playoff. Two strokes ahead of Max Tatson, Alex Ritchie, and Ash Widener. So just an absolute bottleneck there. And I still have no idea who won that playoff either. Shit, this sucks. We're terrible at pods.
There's no answer in the chat. Closest I found is like Div C also went bush on hole two of the playoff with both Paul and Jason scrambling out to tie the hole.
Yeah, cool.
And that's the last mention of it.
Yeah.
It's not on us.
It's not on us.
It'll be on us some way, but it's not on us that way.
It's on us because we don't actually look at any of this until we start doing it. That's what's on us.
Yeah.
But anyway, so well done to Levi and Wayne, and well done even more to whoever got it done. I think Wayne's been up and about lately too.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it.
And Div A, you'll find my name at the very bottom. And I think I'm just shit at disc golf now. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I played pretty bad last week at the Geelong thing. And I was like, anomaly. And I was way worse. Had a bad round one and a way, way worse round two.
Yeah. What was it? Plus seven.
Plus seven, zero birdies. I had one very short birdie putt that was a genuine hit the pole bounce out. But that was like my 15th hole and I was like, cool. Like, I didn't even give a shit. I don't know, man. I can't throw. I'm not very good at upshots and I definitely can't putt. Makes it really hard.
Disc golf is challenging when those things come alive.
I don't know what's going on. Like, the body feels good. I'm a few kegs heavy. Like, we had eruption and I was okay. And then a few weeks went by and then I'm the shittest disc golfer going around. Don't know. I'm a few kegs heavier than eruption, but I was a few kegs heavier at eruption than 6 weeks before eruption. So maybe it's just the straw, the KFC drumstick that broke the camel's back. I don't know.
I
suck. I just suck. I can't putt. I can't throw. Up, down, left, right, like putting and throwing. I don't know. No touch, no power. It's just all bad, but it feels fine. It just sucks.
A birdie three plus seven is something else.
It's crazy. Like Ruben had a really horrible round two, and he's like, yeah, it's the worst I've played here since 2000 and whatever it was. Like, and I was like, yeah, I think I'm in the same boat. Like, I can't remember last time I went to Bald Hill to get a birdie.
Yeah, I'm just checking in. So you would have got eighth in Div B.
Yeah.
You would have got third in Div C. You would have won women's by a couple of shots.
Let's go.
And you would have got fourth in 50 plus.
Yeah. I was trying.
Like,
I was pretty down by like my sixth hole of round one. I can tell you that because I was like, oh, I guess I still suck. But I'm like actively trying. I was like, nah, just like throw better shots.
Figure it out.
Mm. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm sorry.
You shot better than Kalen at Bicentennial.
Yeah, but he showed up a whole late. So he he got par plus four.
Plus four.
And I birdied that hole. So I had a 5-stroke buffer after the first hole. And he played pretty bad and still caught almost all of them back. Yeah, I don't know, man. So I'm signed up to play Bicentennial for PDJ points in like a week. So we'll see. Hopefully I'll go and do a bit of field work and some putting and whatever and try to sort of my kinks, but I'll probably do nothing and then shoot another 870 rated round, and then I might just pull out of the rest of the Summer Cup.
I had a colleague come into my office today and just like random colleague and just be like, "Oh, do you still play disc golf, Chris?" And I was like, "That's an interesting question.
Do I?"
I'm like, "Do I? I don't know. Like, define that." I'm like, I will be in March in 2026. I'm like, for sure playing in March in 2026. That I can confirm.
Would this work if we both stopped playing? Can we still judge others?
Yeah, of course we can.
Is that okay? Just two alive with two Brody Smiths?
Yeah. except we're fat and he's fucking an athlete. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Anyway, back to the actual disc golf. Don't worry about me on the bottom. I guess I just suck now. But at the very top, after the first round, was Penn and Vil tied for like a 7 down or something. Was pretty good at Bicentennial. It's hard to get birdies there, man, I swear.
Mm-hmm.
Only 1 stroke back was Chris Scott. I was on his card and he hit so many good putts. He was putting so, so good. That's what kept him in it for sure. Penn just was kind of playing good. Was harder to really notice. It looked like Ruben was killing everyone. And then until you look at the scores, you're like, huh, Penn's there. That's weird. But yeah, Chris got 1 stroke back and Ruben also 1 stroke back. All those guys played. That was a great card to be on to shoot plus 1,000. I can tell you that. At least Caleb was there with me. And Aiden was a few back, not too much in the mix, but we switched to Bald Hill. The wind really was a big factor at Bald Hill, I must say. But Vil was too good there as well. So the hot score of the day for Bald Hill, and that gets it done by 1 stroke over Penn, and a couple back to Chris Scott, one more to Aiden. So Aiden finding himself in fourth, which is a bit of a surprise.
Absolutely, yeah.
But Vil, the absolute top dog of metrics. That's just an undisputed metrics Melbourne king.
Correct.
And club champ. So well done, Vil. Well, yeah, cups all around. The only one we know who actually won.
Deserved winner. I think you have a club function on your thing, by the
way.
Yeah.
Oh, which one was it? Oh, I reckon it was this one. Oh, shit. No, not even that. Oh, I remember. Yeah, what's the only one? I don't have a club function. Fuck.
My bad.
What is going on at the end of the year, man? This is terrible.
My bad. I thought you had a club function.
No, I reckon I might have swapped it out for one of the spotlight or one of the others.
The guy's laughing.
I should have kept it in. We're just nailing this one. We'll check in on our $2 bets.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't think I've done very well.
Good, because last week was bad for me. So I've got Vil beating Aiden. That's $2 going my way. Thank you.
Oofed.
Div A went to me.
Yep.
You had at Ash Wiener beating Matt Daniels in Div B.
Oh, bang.
And
squared it up.
All right.
Yeah.
In Div C,
this
I had Jason beating Paul.
Yep.
Was that
how? We don't know.
Oh, fuck.
We don't know.
Fuck.
Elite. It's so sweet. This is the best. I love that I end up saying Paul in the end and they tied. That's elite. Yes.
Then in Div, on the women's division, you had Janet beating Bridget.
Oofed.
And Bridget got it done in the end. That was good. Yes. Had her in round one, but yeah, Bridget got it done in the end. So $2 up to me.
Yep.
And we had Richard. I had Richard beating Carey, and Carey didn't show up. So that's a naught. So right now it's $2 up. And hopefully Jason won that that playoff. If Paul did, then we're all squaresies. So.
Oh, there you go. I didn't do so bad after all.
We'll have to check back in on that one.
To be fair to you, though, I was half expecting you to take the $2 for the Richard, because you said, I'm taking Richard because I think Carey might not show up.
Oh, okay. Well, sweet. I'll take that.
Yeah, so I was half expecting you to take it, and I was going to wear that. It's a pretty good call by you to say that Carey wasn't going to turn up, and he didn't.
Good deal. I don't remember that, but good on me. Fuck, I'm smart.
Yeah.
So good. All right, yeah, so that's all the prepared remarks, really, but we were going to do the award. Well, I had awards written, but there are some awards that we can talk about. So the ADG announced their TD and Volunteer of the Year. So we went through the nominees a couple weeks ago, and the TD of the year went to the only person that I didn't know. And I'm trying to find his name now. Joel Rubb. So I wasn't familiar with him, and I don't think I even recognized the tournament that he ran.
No, you didn't.
So not sure what the go with that is, but well done. It must have been a great event. TD of the year. I think it had something to do with getting the course in and the whole shebang. But one name I definitely did know, and well deserving, Matt Tulip, Volunteer of the Year. And we said it when it was announced, that man does more for South Australian disc golf than I'm sure anyone does for any other club. So well done, Matty Tulip. Very much well deserved there.
Yep, awesome.
I think that was the only awards that they had, right? The rest was just publishing the division winners.
What's this, like, expert TDs?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the deal with it. Additional.
Thanks for competing. Like, you get a prize as well.
I did ask Kalen about that when we're playing, and because I was like, did you do the graphics for this? And he's like, nah. And I was like, do you know what this is about? And I think the TD of the Year nominations might have been wrapped up, and like they hadn't been nominated. And Kalen was like, oh, like, well, the event was amazing. Like, can I nominate him? And it was like, nah, like, entries are closed. So maybe it was just like a honorable mention.
Yeah.
Would be sort of our guess. But Joel Rob gets it done.
Fair enough.
And then the Pro Tour have announced their awards too. So we may as well have a quick squeeze at them before we call it an early pot, a real early pot.
Yes.
Should we start with the Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, I'm just figuring how they're doing this. Let's start. There's Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Most Improved. All right, we can start with Rookie. Let's go.
Yeah, so in the FPO, it was Rebecca Don, and in the MPO, it was Rasmus... some other stuff. Rasmus.
Yeah, Sokorippi.
Yeah, sure.
I'm very impressed with how that sounded.
Yeah, you nailed it. I'm not really familiar with either one of them, but the Rookie of the Year never really gets, like, it's hard to be a rookie on the Pro Tour.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You get Rookie of the Year by coming, like, cashing twice sort of thing. The rookies we sort of knew more of were the European younger girls, but they probably just didn't get to enough of the events. Like, I think Rebecca Don and Rasmus both, like, toured, pretty much got most of the tour in. So, I'm sure that was deserving, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Ida was nominated. Rasmus' average finish was 40th. His average rating, 10.22, up and about. Better than the Southern Hemisphere. Rebecca Don, average place 20th. 24th rank, average rating 954. Got work to do. Got work to do there, Rebecca Don.
Ida was average 12th, and the other Ida Lehtomäki was average ninth. But yeah, they just didn't play that in the events. So that must have been the clincher, I guess. I'm not sure.
There you go.
What about the most improved player?
Most improved player had to go to none other, as it loads, drum roll please. I'm pretty sure you've got that button.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember which one. We're not doing that game again.
This is big. Cadence Burge, I'm behind this actually. Cadence Burge, Sikia, and Paul Kranz actually had a couple of epic events. So I'm about it. I'm about it for there. Paul McBeth was a top contender. I love that.
It's so weird.
Ezra Aderholt, probably stiff actually.
Yeah.
He had a great year comparative to previous years. But yeah, I'm happy with those two winners. What about you?
Yeah, for sure, definitely. I don't love most improved for like really good players. I get the concept, but I don't think it's for that. Like, I don't think it's 20th in the world to 10th in the world. It's fucking 100th to 20th.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's meant for. So I'm happy with that. And Cadence definitely, she had a monster year. Finished slow, but monster year. So super well deserved. For her, I can see the Ezra argument, but I think I like Paul better. And Paul McBeth, that's silly. He's fucking the best disc golfer of all time. You can't win most improved in your 100th season. You just can't.
No.
Speaking of which, he won Comeback Player of the Year.
There you go.
And Paige Pierce got it in the FBO side. And I don't know. I don't like the award. Like, what's the point of it? You can only win it if you've been injured.
Or you can only win it if you're like really good, but just had an off year.
Yeah, but like he had the injury year, and then like last year was like a half a year, and he's his first like full year back. And they're like, "Oh, you're fucking still pretty good." He's like, "Yeah, I'm the best to ever do it." I don't know. Paige is a bit more like, I think her injury was a while ago. I think she's just been kind of trash, and then this year she's like, "You know what? I'm actually pretty good."
Yep.
So I'm a bit more around that, but it's still. I don't know. It's they're two of the goats. Yep. They wouldn't come back player of the year. I don't love it, but I don't really care about that award. So
there you go.
The All Stars is what I like. I don't remember. Did they have this last year?
Yes.
Okay. I like this. So it's more of an American team sport thing, and it's a big deal. So like first team All NBA, second team All NBA. Third team All-NBA, they're like important things. They're big. And I think this is their concept of that. And I kind of really like it. So for the FBO, the first card All-Stars, they call them, which doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, but I don't mind it, is Owen Scoggins, Silver Saarinen, where they go?
Holland Hanley
and Missy Gannon. And I'm happy with that. Is there anyone you think might have missed out?
No.
No, I think that's the top four solid.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And in the MPO, it was Paul McBeth, Isaac Robinson, Calvin Heimberg, and Gannon Burr. And immediately, I was like, was Paul really the top four player? The other three... I completely agree with, but I sort of had Anthony Barella in mind for that other fourth spot, I would have thought.
Okay.
What about you? Or even Ante?
Barella started well. Ricky was thereabouts. Nicholas was thereabouts. Ezra was thereabouts. Paul's got to do it. So,
okay.
Where was it? 2025 MPO...
He had two wins. He was the fourth ranked player, so he must have got the fourth amount of points. So
yeah,
which is I guess how they did it. So which makes sense. Yeah, five podiums. I don't know. Five podiums doesn't seem like you're the top four player. You know what I mean?
Average place for Paul,
10.9.
Average place for Barella, 14th.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, I'll get around to them.
Yeah.
And then, second team in the MPO, Anthony Barella, Ricky Antala, and Ezra Robinson. I don't mind any of that. And FBO, Paige Pierce, Cadence Burge, Evelina Sullinan, and Kat Murch. Also not too bad with that. I think Ella might have had maybe an argument to bump one of them out, but I can't really pinpoint which one. But she had a very good year. But she did make it in the third team. So Ella Hansen, Valerie Mandahano, Anakin Steen, and Rebecca Cox. Big year for Rebecca. That was good. And then Simon Lizotte, Ezra Aderhold, Cole Radalin, and Aaron Gossage. Maybe I wasn't paying enough attention. Did they... Like, it feels like a giant jump from second to third card in MPO, and it just doesn't feel that much of a jump from in the FBO.
But I would say in the FBO, it feels like a giant jump from like first card to second card. Gotcha. And it doesn't feel like that in MPO.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's probably true.
That's what I was noticing. I was just like, geez, when you look at the second four, you know, like Kat Murch and Cadence Burge being like second card, it's like, geez, they're really not at the same caliber as those first four. I hear you. That being said, Simon and Cole a little bit, but I think Ezra and Goose they both had sick years.
I don't remember Simon was not playing this yet.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I saw Cole at a couple of things. I don't remember Simon playing. It's like the first year in the last five he hasn't had a win, I think. So.
Yeah.
I guess the People's Champ gets it there. He must have. I think they did it all off 2 points based off the top four, so he must have done well enough, but...
There you go.
That's cool. I like that. I hope that that could sneak into the vernacular, I think, a bit. Like, second team, all disc golf or whatever, all pro tour. I like that. That'd be cool.
You saw they did community champion as well?
I missed that one. What happened with that?
Ella Hansen got it done. And Paul McBeth got it done as well. Obviously, we know Paul does a lot with all things McBeth Foundation. And I imagine Ella's just a jet. I feel like Ella's heavily involved.
She's with
Uplay. Yeah, she's with Uplay. There you go. That's what I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Is like, it's the two guys. I feel like they came down. I feel like the Uplay crew. Oh, and Ella was at New Zealand last year, wasn't she?
I think so.
Yeah. I feel like that whole Uplay crew came down to New Zealand last year. I wonder if they're making it down this year.
We shall see. When does that start?
That's got to be soon.
Yeah, it's got to be soon.
Yeah.
I'll have to keep an eye on that. That'd be very, very cool.
I can't wait. Can't wait to watch some of that. I don't watch any disc golf these days, but I'll be watching that.
Yeah, 100%. I was going to do a bit of like a self-indulgent year in review, but I finished so shit that I don't think I will. It's so weird, man. Like, this is the best year of disc golf I've ever had. My highest ever rating. A bunch of wins, like 4 or 5 wins. Some of them little bitch tournaments, but still. And at the end of it, I'm so shit.
Yep.
So, yeah. Anyway, what about you, Eddie? Any sort of inspirational year in review stuff for you?
Did I even play disc golf this year?
I'm trying to become an am so I can beat up on MO40s.
Yeah.
We're trash.
I need to follow that link that Paul sent me. I still haven't done it. I've tried to sign up for Glen Ordon because I haven't used this shop. It's asking me for card details and I don't have.
Gotcha.
Normally my computer just knows that shit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to know it for this website.
Oh,
so
that's weird.
I've got to go inside and pay for that. But maybe between now and the 4th of Jan, I can hit up the PDGA and become MA40. Maybe start chalking up some victories.
Perfect. All right, we'll finish with some spotlight, not light for the year. For this week, but the last one for the year. Have you got anything?
I do actually. I've got a not light.
Yeah.
Honorable mention has to go to PDGA guidelines on putting.
Yeah, it's gross.
Another honorable mention has to go to like my inability to like read the chat correctly. I must have been cooked, bro. Like, just reading back over it now when you were talking, I was like, what the fuck was I even talking about? Like, what chat was I reading?
Yeah.
And Nathan must have been so confused. And but my actual not light has to go to none other than the far shitter Brunsting in Alan Brunsting.
Oh, okay. I was like, whoa, leave Jeff alone.
Jeff's clearly the better Brunsting. We have definitely established that. But a plus seven, man. Plus seven. That's a not light if I've ever smelt one.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yep.
It's fair. I've got nothing against that.
Talk me through what's hole 14? That's the long par four. You want OB there?
Oh man, that might be my worst hole. so I can't throw straight, but I can throw straight at those bushes. So I'm in the bushes on the right and like deep. And I was like, all right, well, there's no point trying to do any good shot here because I won't execute it. So I'll just get my tui and just little backhand, just a little turnovery, just kind of get around the corner a bit, give me a shot towards the basket.
Yep.
I just drew it straight across the fairway out of bounds. So no turn, no anything, just throw it. Like, and harder than, like, I wasn't even trying to throw hard. I'm just trying to throw a little around the corner. But instead, I just threw directly straight across the fairway over the path. I'm like, oh, cool. and then from there, I couldn't find the pin. So, yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, bro. I'm just trash now.
Yep.
I've got a few that I can't quite figure out where to put these. So I'll get you to decide whether they're spotlights or not lights. I got three different things. Two of them involve...
Hang on. Pause. Yeah. We didn't do player of the year.
We left it for last. Gee, we are trash. We need this break. Sorry, guys. We need this break.
I feel like we forgot something.
Yeah, who were the players of the year?
Shock Horror, MPO, Gannon Burr, and we called it Holland Hanley. Got it done in the FPO. sorry, listeners.
Jesus Christ. What is going on? Yeah, fair winners. I think you could have chosen any one of a couple for the FPO, but I think Holland, probably had it. Five wins. Missy also had five. Holland didn't get any majors in there. So, maybe a little bit controversial.
Recency bias. She finished strong, didn't she, with the last event, I think.
Yeah, I think so. So, but yeah, Gannon, no doubt. Absolutely no doubt. So,
I saw a stat today. Do you see the podium stat?
No.
Oh, it was like a percentage chance of like hitting the podium in the MPO. Yeah, it was Gannon Burr was like over 60%. Like he made over 60% of the podiums this year. And I think the next best was 20%.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I'm looking at it. So he made 13 podiums. Calvin, Isaac, and Paul, the next three, combined made 13 podiums.
There you go. Yeah.
So crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy. All right, I got three things you need to tell me whether they're spotlights or not lights. So,
okay.
This one was just so, like, such a casual statement and it, like, blew me away. So, Ruben had this, like, really nice looking disc, cool stamp, cool plastic, cool everything, right? I think Chris Scott might have had the same one. I think that's sort of what spurred it on. Anyway, he pulls it out and he shows him and he goes, I don't normally pick discs based on how they look, but this one's really nice. And I just, like, this was as we're walking between holes. And I was like, you don't pick discs based on what they look like? I was like, what possible other thing could you
base it on?
Yeah. And I was shook. I was so shook I didn't even ask him about it. Like, I was like a few steps ahead and I like turned to Kaelin. I was like, what the fuck? And I just like kept going. But I don't get that. And like, is that a spotlight for like, I just will find the disc that is right? Or is that a not light? Because that's crazy. No one else does that.
It's a not light.
Oh, good. That's what I wanted to give it. But I was like,
yeah,
That's crazy. And it was just, yeah, he was so casual with it. Just like, yeah, I don't worry about what they look like. Oh, fucking. Nah. It's the number one characteristic.
If I thought like that, I would, like, not own a buzzsaw. And if I didn't own a buzzsaw, I'd be a much shitter disc golfer.
Exactly. The other one was apparently one of the plastics for his tactics went out of production. This is probably a while ago. But he has 30 of them now.
Oh.
30. And either that's so prudent and you'll never have to buy one again for the rest of his life, which is great because they can't make any new ones, or that's crazy. So I don't know. Is that a spotlight or a not light?
Yeah, good. You're bringing the goods.
I was just so confused by all this. I was like, I need someone else to pick.
That is that's a not light. I'm not going to go through 30 so like many. 30 so many. Buy 10.
10
do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, buy 5. Like, what are you doing? I don't have 30 Avery Destroyers.
Nah, it's like 30 tactics.
Yeah. And like, if Nuko S's were going out, like, for the rest of my career, I reckon I'd be like, all right, I need 4 or 5 of these. I'm not gonna be like, I need 30. I need 30 friggin' Nuko S's.
Yeah.
That's a not light.
Double not light for Rubes. And I got one more. We were playing very windy day, like I said, at Bald Hill. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this, like, small green plastic bag comes flying along in the breeze. It hits Taren in the leg. And he's, like, stuck to Taren's leg because the breeze is just holding it there. He goes to, like, take it off and he realizes there's just shit on and in it.
Yeah, of course.
So he's, like, trying to flick his leg so that it comes off on its own. He just got stung by a poo-covered bag. It was funny. Yes. I wasn't in a good way, but it was pretty funny. Is that a spotlight or a not light? Copping a poo bag to the leg.
Well, I don't know. It's hard to categorize that one. He can have a spotlight for that. Did he take it well?
Yeah. He took it in stride. And then then we get to the next tee pad and he's like, there's something for your spotlight and all that. I'm like, I already wrote it down. I was like, I forget too many things. I was like, as soon as that happened, I got my phone out and put it on the run sheet. All right, well, there you go. Spotlight for Taz and then double not lights for Ruben.
There you go.
All right, mate, that's our year done. Big thanks for everyone who listened, and big thanks for you, Chris, for doing this every week. We seem to find time out of our busy days, and 48 episodes this year.
Look out.
48 episodes. So, appreciate another year gone by.
Enjoy your break, Alan. Enjoy your break, everyone. Hope Santa brings everything that you could hope for and wish for. Bring on some summer cup. Bring on some summer cup.
Sounds great. All right. Peace. Bye, everybody.
Peace.